Part 4. Internal self-satisfaction. To disregard the present environment of the troublesome world is a valuable asset. It is nearing the soul area. Real bhakti, devotion, is ahoituki, causeless. It is its own cause. It is causeless and it is by itself. As Hegel said, reality is by itself. Reality is not an abstract thing, but reality means a system that exists by itself. It is anadi and ahoituki, eternal, and nothing can produce it. Bhakti is its own cause. These are the definitions that have been given to help us to understand what is bhakti. It is not created by some other thing. It is there eternally. But it is only covered and should be uncovered, discovered. It is there in a potential form. By outside help, it will gradually and progressively come out. It is as if sleeping. It is necessary to rouse it. Anyabilash, karma, gyan, fleeting desires, and the organized attempts for both exploitation and retirement or indifference are the covers. We have to remove these covers, and then bhakti will emerge in all its pristine glory. To have affinity and attraction towards the higher truth is very rarely found, especially in this modern age, where the direction of thought is all towards exploitation, even of knowledge. Knowledge being also subservient to exploitation is creating havoc. Atomic energy and so many other kinds of scientific research are the cause of great apprehension. The world is threatened with destruction at any moment. This scientific knowledge has brought us to such a position that at any moment the whole thing may be finished. This knowledge is suicidal. The increase of such knowledge in this world means the result is that we are going to commit suicide. Exploitation means reaction. So, if we are to accept general, wholesale exploitation, then the result will be pralay, maha pralay, destruction, wholesale. In any way, whether by the atomic bomb or by any other natural incident, the pralay will come. And after that, again creation, birth and death, birth and death. Each individual will be born and die again, and the whole solar system will also be born and will die again and again, without end. If we are to get out of this entanglement, we must leave this atmosphere experienced by our senses. In Bhagavad Gita and in the Upanishads also it is mentioned, Indriyani Paran Ahur. Our senses hold the principal position, because if the eye, ear, nose, touch, etc. are gone, then the whole world is gone from us. Because we have senses, we have our world. In the world of experience, our senses are all important. Then, Indriye Bhyak Parang Manaha. The mind is within. And what is the mind? It is the faculty within us which selects, I want this, I don't want that. We have a liking for something and a disregard for something else, and this is the principle of the mind within us. It is more important than the senses, because if I am unmindful, a person may walk in front of me, but it is possible that I will say, oh, I didn't notice him. I didn't see him and I couldn't hear him. I was unmindful. So mind is in the center, and that is more important than our senses. The senses are more important than the external world, and the mind is more important, because if the mind does not receive, then the senses, which are like so many doors, are useless. Then, manasastu para buddhir. There is another principle to be traced within us, a fine thing called reason, buddhi. And what is its characteristic? The mind will say, oh, I shall take that. But buddhi says, oh no, don't take that, it will cause some damage. You rather take this, it will give you benefit. That faculty of selection, that reason, is a higher principle in us. Then, buddhe ja paratashtu saha. That which is superior even to the intelligence is the soul himself. In this way we are to trace out the elements. More important than the external world are our senses. More important than our senses is our mind. And above the mind is reason, which is even more important, more fine and more reliable. And, buddheja padatastu saha, there's another thing above the buddhi, and that is our soul. And what is its nature, its characteristic? It is like light. In the scriptures an example has been given that on a moonlit night there may be a cloud in the sky which has covered the moon, but the cloud is seen by the light of the moon. The compiler of the Vedas, Vyasadeva, says the Atma is like that illuminating moon, or like the sun. A cloud has covered the sun, but the cloud is seen by the light of the sun. Similarly, the Atma is a point of light within us, and because it is in the background, we can feel our mental system. If the light is withdrawn, then everything is dead. The mental system, the intelligence, the faculty of choice, and so many channels through which we gain knowledge from outside will have no value if that light is withdrawn. That light is the Atma, a point of a ray of light, and it is quite categorically different from all other things here. The soul is a particle of light, and there is a land of light made of souls. And in this way there is development again, from the subjective to supersubjective, from soul to supersoul, Atma to Paramatma. Just as in this world we find ether, air, heat, water, then earth, then stone, and in this way there is development in material existence. Similarly, in the finer world, there is also development, from the intelligence to the soul, then to the supersoul, to the super-supersoul. In this way, the subjective side goes towards the infinite. It is super-subjective. Darwin, in his theory of evolution, says that everything comes from matter. He says that even within the womb, first there is something material which grows, and from that growth of matter, knowledge also gradually grows. In general terms, he thinks that consciousness comes out of matter. But the followers of the revealed truth do not believe in that. They say that consciousness is all in all, and everything is floating on the ocean of consciousness. That is subjective evolution. Darwin talks of objective evolution, but the Vedic scriptures say that everything comes under the category of subjective evolution. At Bishop Berkeley, one European philosopher said, "It is not that the mind is in the world, but the world is in the mind." Everything is floating in the plane of consciousness. Consciousness presupposes everything. Darwin's section say that in the beginning was the fossil. But what is a fossil? A fossil means a particular conception, and that is a part of consciousness. Therefore, we contend that consciousness is the most original subject. Whatever you may say to be the beginning, before that, consciousness existed. Otherwise, you cannot give any statement about anything. So the Vedic truth states that Brahman, the all-pervading impersonal aspect of the Absolute, is the source of the souls, and above this soul, Atma, is the supersoul, Paramatma. In the mundane worlds, all development is in the black side, but there is also a bright side, the eternal world, which exists with so many joyful activities, so many waves in the ocean of blissfulness and joy. In this way we are to understand what should be our duty in this life, what is the special importance of the human life, and how to utilize that. There are so many religious opinions, but we seekers after truth shall have to find a harmonizing solution amongst them, and for that we are to enter into some comparative study. It is mentioned in the scriptures that we should not change our position very easily. For example, a commander will say to his army, "Don't change your position, rather die to keep it." But when the chance will come, he will say, "Go forward." Similarly, the Shastra, the scriptures, have told, wherever you are born according to your previous karma, wherever you have taken your stand, don't try to leave there, otherwise there is the possibility you will go down. But at the same time, when a proper chance comes, they say, march on towards the Absolute, make further progress. So in Bhagavad Gita it is given, don't easily lose your present position acquired by your previous action, rather die there. But then again Krishna comes to say, Sarva Dharman Parichaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja. When you get the chance of marching towards the centre, you must do it at all costs. This is the revolutionary method. There is the constitutional method and the revolutionary method. The revolutionary method is to take the risk of anything and everything and march on, march forward towards the central truth. And because this human life gives the best opportunity, we shall do whatever is necessary for that. Only in the human life do you practically have the use of your discrimination and decision. If you lose this position and go to animal life or vegetable life, no one knows when you'll again come back to be able to take independent and voluntary decision. Therefore, this human life is most important, and you should not misuse it only in the practices of animal life, ahar, nidra, bhai, maituna, to eat, to sleep, to be under apprehension at every minute, and to have sense pleasure, because this you will get everywhere. If you will become an animal or go anywhere else to become a bird, a worm, an insect, etc., you will get all these enjoyments. But to culture about your soul, about religion, about your proper function, that chance you will not get anywhere else other than in the human form of life. In the company of the saints, the entire position may be discussed. In this way you can make progress in your life and save yourself. But if, having received a human birth, you lose this chance, you are committing suicide, or even more than that. One commits suicide who, having received the chance of a human birth, does not try to help himself properly, to try for his wholesale relief.